the culmination of 3 weeks worth. Malchus Shebteferis, kingship within glory, the kingship of David, the Malchus of David, within the glory of Yaakov. That's the man of Tefillah, David, who said, "V'ani Tefillah, I am Tefillah, I am prayer," the one who wrote Tehillim, found within the week of Yaakov, who represents Torah. The voice that speaks Tefillah together with the voice that learns Torah. The mouth, the Kol Kol Yaakov, together with Oz Yomol Yitzchok Pinu. And as we said, the fact that the Aver, the limb, which represents the concept of Malchus, already discussed twice previously, is the mouth. We know that obviously the Malchus, the kingship of David, comes from the tribe of Yehuda, that those tribal settings were of course set up by the father of all of those, who was Yaakov. Yaakov continued into the next generation with Yosef. All of these, they're all shepherds. Another shepherd, David, another shepherd. Interestingly enough, David is the one who says in Tehillim, we say this in Hallel, Even Masu Aboinim Hoysol Rosh Pinah, the stone, notice the stones again, it's quite amazing. Yaakov, who rolled the stone off the mouth of the well, David says, the stone that the builders have rejected, Hoysol Rosh Pinah, has now become the foundation stone. We spoke about this. And Yosef, who of course was also rejected, became the foundation stone. Yosef, who, interestingly, is the nemesis of Yaakov's twin, Esav, the red-headed twin of Yaakov. David, of course, was also red-headed. Don't think that there isn't a connection there. And we'll hopefully come back to a bit of that. Esav, in contrast with Yaakov, they should have had a partnership, should have. But it went wrong. Esav went on the wrong path. And therefore Yaakov had to get both the paths of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. He had to take both the ideas of what should have been expressed by that partnership. It's a huge topic beyond the 10 minutes that I would have otherwise. But it occurred to me a number of years ago that this partnership was reborn in two of Yaakov's children, who, interestingly enough, were born from the wife, Leah, who should have been, had Esav been doing the right thing, should have been Esav's wife. And they are Yisachar Zevulun. Quite amazing. Just as an aside, it's also astonishing how you'll find Lahavdil, how when people look at the origins of their own stories, of their own histories, that the history of Rome, and of course Rome is descended from Edom, who is Esav, they also start with a fight between twins, the Romulus-Remus thing. But again, we don't have time to explore that too much in too much detail. The interesting thing here again is that we're going to see again and again and again that there is a connection after connection. We, of course, here return to the dream, Yaakov's ladder. And the further explanation we're told about what's going on, who are these malachim, is Yaakov, he's afraid because he sees one malach go up 70 rungs, which represents Bovel, Babylon, and then it falls. Then he sees the malach, which represents Poros Umadai, Persia Media, which goes up and then falls. Yovon, the malach of Greece, goes up and then falls. And then he sees another malach, and it goes up and up and up and doesn't seem to come down at all. What's going to happen? And Yaakov said, why is this? This, of course, is the malach of Edom, the exile which we're in right now. How a Medrash would have known 2,000 years ago is another fascinating insight as to the veracity, the truth of this dream. This is described in the Haftorah of Vayishlach. It's the whole book of Avadja, 21 pasukim long. And within that, Avadja, notice Eved Hashem, He is a servant of Hashem. He left, he was an Edomite convert. He left Edom, he left the concept of self-avdus and became an Eved Hashem, which freed him up to become a real Melech. He gives this expression where he says that im tagbia kanesher, if you go as high as the eagle, v'ben koychovim sim kinecho, and you place your nest amongst the stars. This, of course, was Yaakov's fear. He sees the Malach of Edom going up and up and up and up, says the Medrash Hashem, says, don't worry, I will personally take him down. Continues the Pasuk in Avadja there, Misham Oridchon Um Hashem, from there, I will take you down, says Hashem. And that is indeed what the future promise lies, because Esav, when Esav has gone wrong, his Malach has to be dealt with. Amazingly, we know that of course is the brachos that Yitzchok gave to Yaakov and Esav. There's this whole tension when one is up, the other is down. If anybody says to you that both Kesaria and Yerushalayim, one which represents each distinct culture, if somebody says they're both ruined or both built up, don't believe them. But if one is up and one is down, believe them. This is the constant struggle that we have, Yaakov versus Esav. Interestingly enough, there was one 26-year period, interesting 26, Yudkevovke, we'll come back to that next week, where things did work out. Rebbe and Antoninus. Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi, a descendant of who? David, of course, works together hand in hand with his friend Antoninus, probably Marcus Aurelius, although there is discussion about that. That was the only time in Roman history where things actually worked out as they should have worked out. That would have been the Yaakov-Esav partnership, which was then had to be reconstituted in Yisachar Zvulun. The Hanhaga of the day. What's the custom of the day? That what you should do is to be a makabel, to be able to accept, to be able to learn with your mouth, to be able to learn with that the koil Torah, the voice of Torah, to be able to daven with understanding, the understanding that you have the Torah, with to daven with chayin, to daven for clarity, to daven. Interestingly enough, I saw this for cholim in Rifo'enu. Rifo'enu is from the word Tiferes, says the Eitz Chaim. Tiferes, and of course we said Rifo'enu has the elements of Efer, has the elements, the truth is, if we're talking about Malchus, of all of the midas that we have described this week. This is the voice that learns Torah, the voice that says Tefillah, that's the Koil Doidi, the voice of my beloved. Who wrote those words, Koil Doidi? It was Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David. Doidi is, Doid is beloved, is also David. We're told that it's a good idea to not just daven, stun, but to make a commitment to return, to do teshuvah. David is also the one who is teshuvah, tefillah, tzedakah. You've got all of these all in one as hanhaga for today. Amazingly, if we're talking about all-encompassing midos, the kinyan of the day is Lev Tov, to have a good heart. If you know your Pirkei Avos, you'll be aware that of all Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's Talmidim, the one whose derech, whose methodology he said was the best, was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, because he said, have a Lev Tov, which encompasses everything. That's going to come back to us on the 32nd day of the Omer, where we talk about Lev Tov, Lev, which is 32. It includes everything, which is Malchus. Malchus, we said, is Klolos. Malchus includes everything. That is us. Malchus is us because as Avodim, as real servants, we're Mispatel, and then we become a Mamlechas Kohanim. David becomes a Melech. He's also described as a Kohen in another place. And all of this, through the Klolos, through that combination with Yaakov, as continued Midor L'Dor, through Yosef, who is described in the Novi as being the spark, the flame which consumes the fire of Esav. The consuming fire, we've already described earlier in the week, as the Oisis Porchus Ba'avi, when the body burns, the scroll burns, but the letters fly in the air. The sparks that fly, the sparks that are described in the Torah when you strike a rock with a hammer into 70 different sparks, the 70 sparks of the Torah, 70 nations, 70 people went down to Mitzrayim.